Today, I'm going to try to give an opponent all of my chips with a busted flush draw in a 4-bet pot, and then I'm going to bink a straight on the turn and do everything in my power to win the max. All right, so the first hand in question begins with me opening 2.5 big blinds from the cutoff with ace of diamonds, jack of hearts. I get 3-bet by the button, who from all appearances looks like a reg. The blinds fold, and I decide to go ahead and 4-bet to 21 big blinds, $105, with ace of diamonds, jack of hearts, and the button gets in there and calls. We started this pot a little bit deeper than usual, about 130 big blinds. We flop kind of the world for ace of diamonds, jack of hearts. We got a king, 10, deuce, all diamonds flop, so we have nut flush draw and a gut shot and an overcard. 217 in the pot in this 4-bet pot. John, what are your thoughts here looking at this beautiful, beautiful board?
Yeah, I just need to take a second to appreciate all the equity that I just flopped and how exciting this hand is going to be, and keep probably just trying to keep my optimism in check on the flop and not get too excited. It's, you know, especially when you're 4-betting one of your lower equity hands like ace jack offsuit, it's especially exciting, I think, to connect with the board in this way. Think you have a lot of options on the flop with your c-bet size. I'm certainly going to be c-betting. My plan, I think, for the rest of the hand would be to use my ace of diamonds and maybe even in the future the jack as good reasons to run a bluff. We have lots of equity, so we could just, you know, back ourselves into an actual value hand quite easily. So I'm definitely going to start by putting some money in this pot.
And there's a lot of treachery downstream, I believe, too, where the SPR can set itself up to where, you know, we want to realize our equity. Like, we definitely want to see whether or not we make a very strong hand here. And because it's a 4-bet pot, because there's 220 in the middle and I have 540 behind, there are some potentially devastating things that could happen on the turn in the river where I don't get to see whether or not I make a flush. So depending on my sizing selection. So that's why really critical here to choose a good size. I hemmed and hawed and went with 30%. I actually considered betting half pot here and setting up some turn jams. And I don't think that would actually be a disaster scenario. But in 4-bet pots, typically sizes trend down. And so I thought 50% on the flop might be a bit much. So it started with a third, and really my plan on the flop was to bet the flop, bet the turn, and most likely jam the river. That was kind of what I was starting with. So I bet a third, villain calls, turn is the nine of spades. And as you alluded, the jack of hearts matters a little bit more now here.
Yeah, blocking queen jack is really, really nice. It's going to be one of the hands that, you know, the button is always going to almost always going to three bet, almost always going to call a 4-bet, and then never folding facing a third when they flop an open ender. So I think the jack is particularly meaningful here. When you say that you're planning on going bet, bet, jam, I imagine that you are planning on doing that on almost every run out, right? Like whether you make a flush, whether you make a straight, whether you don't make a flush, it's sort of all the same thing. And that's sort of the beauty of having the exact hand that we have in this situation, is that it's so perfect for this, line, regardless of how the board runs out.
This is a perfect combo, right? We block the nut flush, we block queen jack, and we have equity. So it's just the perfect bluffing candidate, three street bluffing candidate. You know, another really good one would be ace queen with the ace of diamonds. And we can just go bet, bet, jam with those two combos all day long. And there's not really much villain can do about it, right? We're also going to have nut flushes that we 4-bet, ace five suited, maybe ace four, ace three, ace deuce suited, ace jack suited, ace queen suited, diamond, diamond. So we have a lot of value backing up our two bluff combos. So yeah, like some runouts are going to feel better than others, bluffing with ace jack and ace queen of diamond, ace jack and ace queen with one diamond, but kind of feel locked in to bluffing. And here is actually a pretty critical moment. I don't want to get raised, so I bet a third on the turn, 117 into 358. I've got 350 behind. Getting raised would be an abject disaster, I think, because I'm putting myself in a spot where I'm not going to get to fully realize my equity, but I do know that I have value here. I've got sets, I've got flushes, and so I'm hoping that I'm protected. This bet is protected by my full range, and that having the ace of diamonds is going to remove some of the hands that they would jam with, right? Like maybe they jam with ace queen with the ace of diamonds. Maybe they jam with ace jack with the ace of diamonds. Maybe they jam with their nut flushes. In this case, they don't have a ton of flushes. I think something like their suited connectors, 8-9 of diamonds, 7-8 of diamonds, 6-5 of diamonds. Those types of hands would be the flushes that they have. And they're going to have some sets as well. And it's kind of a coin toss, in my opinion, as to whether or not sets jam once we go bet. And so I just don't think that I'm going to get raised a ton here. So kind of have to take this risk with my hand. I think checking the turn just removes a lot of the top end value from my range, from Villain's perspective. And, you know, we can check and Villain can just jam themselves, which is also a disaster. So being out of position here, you know, potential disaster based on either action that I take. So I took the one that I felt was more in line where I'm protected, have value, and, you know, just don't think Villain's going to be raising the turn at a super high frequency. And
yeah, you get to realize your equity most frequently with this size on the turn. I agree.
Right. And Villain, thankfully, mercifully, decides to just call. And again, because I think they could be calling with their sets and with some flushes, it's still like they still do have value here. And the river is not the greatest of bluffing rivers, right? Maybe one of the worst river cards to bluff. It's the nine of clubs, so it pairs the nine. King 10 deuce was the flop, nine of spades, nine of clubs. Everything that was good hands on the turn is still good hands on the river. None of my low equity hands that were betting improve on this river, so don't really get to represent any stronger hands than I was previously when Villain called. So yeah, I've got 350, there's 600 in the pot. So betting half, need to generate about 40% folds from Villain. Pretty scary.
What hands do you think Villain folds on the river?
So I'm not sure. That is a great question. It depends on the hands that Villain calls a turn with, right? Are they calling the turn with like eights, sevens with a diamond, pocket pairs with a diamond, maybe like a hand, king jack of clubs. So like top pair, weak kicker, maybe even king queen can find a fold facing bet bet jam in a four bet pot. I think those
like
are
jack 10, queen 10, like
jack 10, queen 10. If they call the turn, their jack 10 and queen 10s are not going to have not going to be offsuit, so they're not going to have a diamond. So we're really hoping for like jack 10 of hearts, jack 10 of clubs. And this is why betting small is preferred, because you don't want to wash those hands out, because I need them to have those hands so that I can fold them out with my river bet. Otherwise I'm just kind of toast when I make it here. So
yeah,
here we go, the moment of truth.
Hold on to your butts.
And we do get the fold.
nice,
we get the fold. I don't know what Villain folded, because this hand was played recently, but yeah, luckily held the breath, jammed. Villain let it go. Now, let's transition to second hand, where we're holding on to our butts, but for different reasons. We're going to make a straight and go for max value. So opening on the button with the ace tray of hearts, we get 3-bet to 12 big blinds from the big blind. Not folding my suited wheel aces here, facing a 3-bet. So we see a flop. We get a good flop. There's 122 in the middle. Villain has 440 behind. The flop is 845 with one heart. So I have a gut shot, an overcard, and a backdoor flush draw. Oh my. I basically have the world here. Villain bets $35 into 130, which is kind of a strange size. It's a little bit under a quarter pot. Nothing to
I'm
do
glad
here.
I'm glad they picked this size, though. I'm happy. I'm happy.
I'm
with
super
our hand.
Happy.
Very
yeah.
happy.
Our hand is very, very good. But the cheaper, the better. The bigger discount we can get, the better we're going to feel. And we kind of get a gin turn.
Whoa.
The turn is the deuce of spades. I guess it could be better. It could be the deuce of hearts if we're really being picky here as to...
No. I'm not picky with my gut shot. So,
yeah, just hitting a gut shot, we'll take it. So yeah. Now our hand gets significantly upgraded to a wheel, and there's 200 in the pot, and villain checks the turn. John, what are your thoughts here as it relates to trying to capture max value with our turn straight?
I think we could think about the spot a couple different ways. One option that immediately comes to mind is just checking back and kind of trapping the turn, letting the big blind either value own themselves on the river with, you know, the type of range that might just call the turn bet and a river jam anyways. Maybe villain was bluffing on the flop, and then we give them an opportunity to bluff the river once we check back the turn. That seems like a pretty good outcome. And I think the third outcome that is good, the third good thing that can happen when we check back the turn is that the villain can make a value hand on the river, right? They can river top pair with king queen or jack 10 or, you know, ace jack, whatever hand that they might have had on the flop that is just giving up here. The flip side, I think, is we just get to have a hand that is strong enough, more than strong enough, to value bet the turn in a situation where the river card can be action killing versus quite a large portion of their range, particularly thinking about the overpair region part of their range. I think that is going to be the bulk of the range that calls a turn and calls a jam on the river. You can imagine, you know, an 8, a 6, a 7, a 3, an ace, all kind of being bad river cards. I guess an ace is bad not only because it makes a four liner, but it's also an overcard. So like overcards to, you know, potential overpairs that they have or would be action killers on the river. So it's, you know, it's good to go for value on the turn versus that range. So those are like kind of the two actions that I would be weighing on the turn and trying to decide whether I should check and trap or just start going after the top of their range right now.
Right. And the one downstream problem after checking back is that, you know, we need to have like bluffs in our raising range after we check back the turn and then villain bets the river and we jam. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty difficult to find our natural bluffs in our river jamming range because a lot of those hands like the queen jack, jack 10 of hearts that call the flop with back doors, go ahead and bet the turn themselves, right? This is kind of this is their time to shine on the turn. And so checking behind, reserving those overcards with backdoor flush draws and sticking them into our river jam range becomes a lot trickier. If villain checks the river, then okay, we can just jam ourselves and then we can still like maintain some of those hands in our jam range, I guess. But because I felt like it was more likely that I would bet my low equity hands here on the turn rather than checking the turn and then jamming the river, as well as a lot of the points that you mentioned about a 3, an ace, a 6, a 7, an 8, a 4, a spade, all of those can be action killing rivers. I decided that betting the turn, targeting their overpairs, maybe even targeting a hand like 7-8 suited, 8-9 suited, ace-8 suited, jack-8 suited, if they 3-bet those, would be the better way to go. And I could do it, you know, with a polarized range where I do have a lot of low equity hands like the queen jack of diamonds, etc., that villain could imagine. So with that said, I decided to bet the turn, and I went with a healthy bet and just fully invested in targeting their pairs, and recognizing too that when they have low equity hands, they're just going to fold them. But I wanted to make sure that I can successfully target their, you know, their overpairs as well as their top pair type hands. Maybe even a hand like, you know, ace five, I think is going to be very comparable to a hand like jacks, maybe even better than jacks because ace five has a gut shot as well as blocking one of my sets, as well as blocking straights too. Right. So like, so I go ahead, I bet big, fully commit. Villain calls, really good signal here that we're on the right path. This bet's going to fold out a lot of villains like ace king, ace queen type hands. We get a board pairing river. Now we want the board pairing river. The board pairing river is good for us, unlike in the first hand, because it reduces our sets and it does complete the backdoor flush, which villain may have, but I think a lot of times villains will just continue barreling when they turn the backdoor flush draw, as well as check raising all in with a flush. So I think that there is some removal there in the amount of flushes they have. So villain checks, and they've got 262 behind. There's 476 in the pot. So again, got about a half pot size bet. I definitely think my hand is good enough to value jam. Do you have any thoughts?
Let's get that final 262.
Let's get it. We rip it in. And villain gives us the money. Worked nice. Out just as we had planned. They have two tens with the 10 of spades. So they did block the flush draws, the backdoor flush draws. Didn't take too long to check call the river. And we did it. We got max value. We got the bluff through. I think it was a successful day in the streets. And with that said, you know, if you have enjoyed this episode of Tactical Tuesday, be sure to like, subscribe, comment any questions that you have. And that's all I got for you this week.
See you next week.
See you next week.